We're almost there. Over there is Digital Fast Eddie. Wow.
And this is Fast Digital Dave.
Okay.
And everybody's going, what?
Yes, we are professionals.
No, we are not.
And joining us is a guy that if he wears that hat to work every day, it must get interesting.
It is.
Marcus, otherwise known as Prop Hat Cat.
Prop Hat Cat. We had him here last year. I tell you, he had a vest that had about 100,000 pins on it. And Marcus, how much did that thing weigh?
I think it weighed 40 pounds.
Seriously.
Yeah, it was a lot of pins. A
lot of pins.
TSA hates you.
TSA did not like it.
Yeah, they hate you.
Yeah, they made me take it out of my bag, both coming and going, you know?
Yep.
Like, what's in here? It's a vest with pins. And like, okay, open it up. That is a vest with pins, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
a lot of pins.
And you go by the moniker Prop Hat Cat.
Yeah.
Did they give you their own pin?
You should.
Yeah, I do have a pen. I just didn't bring any this year because they're heavy and expensive.
Yes.
Well, the expensive part I'll verify.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you demystify air traffic control.
That's the goal.
You're trying to make us not afraid of you guys.
Yeah, trying to.
Is it working?
You know, with the copious amounts of pilots I've met here that have said, wow, I really find value in what you're putting out there. It's making me think about things that maybe I never thought about, you know, because piloting world and air traffic control world is, you know, they're separate until you're talking on the radios. You know, we have our own set of skills. And very rarely do controllers get to know what the pilots are thinking in the moment in the flight deck. And very rarely do the pilots know what we're thinking in the control room, right? And so being able to make this content, being able to kind of pull back the curtain and show what we're doing so pilots have a better understanding, so there's less frustration, I think, with why am I being descended 200 miles early from my top of descent? Well, it's because there's other planes trying to get in and there's airspace restrictions and things like that. Makes it for a more enjoyable flying experience. So now you're not just like, oh, these controllers have it out for me. It's like, no, it makes sense.
Or when you ask for flight following and they say no.
Yeah. And you know, that's a big thing, right? We're not going to give you that false sense of security if we can't provide you that service, right? And so, yeah, answering questions like that. And, you know, this year I'm not really with NATCA at their booth. I'm kind of a free agent. I just applied to come as Prop Hat Cat. So it's been really cool to just kind of walk around. And I need my disclaimer. I don't speak for NATCA or the FAA. You know, these opinions are my own.
There you go. But yet they let you wear a pink shirt.
So this is an homage. This is an homage to the pink shirts. It's a different shade. I asked, and they were like, "It's okay," you know. And the propeller hat too. It's my own little branding.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I was going to say, when are you going to get the turban model?
Nice.
On Monday,
he doesn't have enough hours yet.
I don't. On Monday and Tuesday, it was so windy here. I thought I was going to take off. You know,
he wore out a bearing.
Yeah, I did. Like, I didn't bring my certificate with me. Hold on.
So you had to put it in for a major overhaul.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you know, I think one of the best examples I've ever seen in Hollywood of interaction between pilots and air traffic control was the movie Sully, The Miracle on the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the controller was right on the ball.
Yeah.
And
now, do you guys almost feel like that's my airplane because you're working that airplane?
Yeah.
It's all on like almost a personal connection level.
I mean, that sense of responsibility is definitely there, and you know you have this responsibility for that aircraft to keep it safe. And when things happen that are, you know, bird strikes or engine failures or, you know, engine oil overheating, you definitely take that personal responsibility to be there for that pilot and assist them however you can, you know. Ultimately, all of my stuff is to show that we're human as well, and we are there to provide you a service to keep you safe from point A to point B. And this is how you can use the system better. That's why all the forums and the presentations at NACA are so, I think, they're so important because it showcases the human nature behind it, but also we're both on the same team, right?
Right.
And we're here to help you stay safe. Some of us are you know, can be a little snippy sometimes, but that's just because that responsibility can weigh on you after a little bit.
Well,
you know?
Not only that, but the workload as well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pilots that say, well, you know, ATC is only there and, you know, to give me a problem. And
yeah, they're just waiting to brasher me, you know, they're the police in the sky.
And the next thing you know, this cranky pilot is getting notified by ATC. Give us a call, dude.
Yeah, the scary brasher warning, you know. I've made a few videos about that. And ultimately, the brasher is not punitive. The brasher is saying, hey, something happened. Give us a call and let us know what was going on in the flight deck. Because we only have the controller's point of view, right?
Right.
We have the recording. And, you know, 99% of the time, I'm making up that statistic, but it's high. It was an honest mistake, or they didn't even know something happened. They didn't know this TFR was active, or, you know, and if it's an honest mistake, then we can work through that on that phone call, and that's the end of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as controllers, we take the responsibility of safety so critically that if we see something unsafe, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to report that, you know? And that makes everybody safe.
Well, what about the situation where I am told as a pilot, I'm told to do something that, A, I either feel I'm not comfortable with mm-hmm. or I'm not capable of doing?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say, I can't do that? Can I say, no, I need something else?
I think the magic word is unable. You know, the magic word is unable. If you can't do something that a lot of air traffic controllers aren't pilots. We don't know what it's like flying over the water, you know, at 4,000 feet. And you're like, oh, I'm out of my glide range. You know, this is making me really uncomfortable. If you can't do it, tell us enable and we'll try something else. You know, that's one of the cool parts about being a controller is the creativity and the, you know, A's not working. Okay, let's go to B. Okay, now let's go to C. And let's try and figure out a plan to keep you comfortable and flying. And sometimes, you know, our airways or there's weather and our hands are tied because we have separation standards and minima that we have to follow. But you know, if you're going to fly into a thunderstorm and you can't get a word in edgewise and, you know, I'm either going to fly into a thunderstorm and potentially have, you know, something bad happen or I'm going to get closer to an airplane, but I can see them and I'm not going to hit them, then, you know, declare the emergency, get over and then, keep yourself safe, you know.
Now, see, right there, you said something that I would never have thought. Declare emergency.
Yeah.
I would never have thought that I would be able to declare an emergency to avoid weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, in Jacksonville, Miami, of such confined airspace and a lot of traffic. And I mean, our standard separation is 5 miles or 1,000 feet in above flight level 240. Below, it can be 3 miles if you have ADS-B. It's in the weeds. Follow my stuff. I talk about that.
Okay.
But keeping you separated, if you're IFR, is our job. If you can't keep that separation for safety from weather or whatever, declaring the emergency allows you to have that emergency authority as the pilot to do what you need to do to stay safe. And then it kind of relieves us of that separation because you're doing what you need to do to stay safe. And nobody's going to say, oh, you shouldn't have declared the emergency. Because we'd rather you declare the emergency than fly in and potentially die, you know?
So mm-hmm. you're saying that if I declare an emergency and it's not necessarily an emergency from your point of view, I'm not going to get into trouble for it.
Well, the emergencies are so dynamic, you know? As a pilot or as a controller, I don't know if this thunderstorm is scary. I only see precipitation. I don't know if you're going to get in there in the updrafts, you're going to rip your wings off, you know? Like, an emergency for you is an emergency for you, you know? And if that's what you need to do to stay safe, then it's not for us to say, oh, that's not an emergency, you know? You're the one that's needing the safety of flight maneuver, right? And then pilots are always like, oh, I'm going to have to fill out so much paperwork. For a majority of these things, it's just like, are you on the ground safe? Okay, cool. Hang up. Maybe, you know, you got closer because you had to deviate around weather. They're going to ask you, hey, what happened? Oh, there's a big thunderstorm. I couldn't deviate. The air traffic controllers had their hands tied. So I did this. Okay, cool. See you later. You know, like, having a reason for an emergency is important, but being able to justify it is important too.
Right,
as well.
But most of us consider an emergency a problem with the machine.
Yeah.
Not, oh, I don't like what I'm flying into.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, emergencies are so dynamic for each person, but I would say don't be scared to use that as a way to ensure your safety, You know, that's the big takeaway, I think.
Okay.
For sure. And the thing that people don't know is you can cancel an emergency, too.
Right.
Once you're done, once you're out of it, once you've maintained your, okay, now we're level, we're clear, we're done deviating, we'd like to cancel our emergency. Okay, cool. Doop. There you go.
Done.
Maybe they'll say, okay, give us a call when you're on the ground. We just want to talk a little bit about what happened. But that's it, you know? So, yeah, don't be scared to ask for Mayday, Pan Pan.
And you just hit something there that I never knew. I never knew that I could cancel an emergency.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because, like, again, the engine mysteriously comes back.
See, you're thinking an emergency is a machine problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But, yeah, there's the whole gamut. You know, you could have a sick passenger on board.
Yeah. Could be out of coffee.
Yeah.
Could be out of coffee. Could have to. You drank all the coffee, now you really have to get on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I wonder about that.
That's happened before.
Oh, I believe
I've worked it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, some of the crazy conversations I've heard on YouTube with ATC is just...
You know, when you fill out one of those NASA safety reports...
Yeah. Code Brown. That's what it is.
Yeah, and they want... you to suggest what you're going to do to avoid that in the future. I wonder if anybody's ever written down diapers.
Diapers?
Yeah.
Depends. Yeah, diapers. Something like that.
Change of clothing. Brown pants.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for having me. We've learned a bunch of things. This has been awesome.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we've been speaking with Prop Hat Cat.